Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were taught that as laborers together with God, we must constantly be aware of our motive. Let's start the week with that thought today. So don't have a feigned love for the brethren that does not care whether they go to heaven or to hell. Let it be sincere and caring as a result of a heart that is right with God and bent on pleasing Him and doing His will. I was counseling with one day and had been in adultery. This lady had been in adultery with another man. And I asked about her witnessing to the man. No. So-and-so went witness to them. And I said, well, you know what? He may need to hear it from you to let him know that you're sorry for the sin that you committed with him, that it was wrong, and that you find it totally repulsive that y'all did that. But that Jesus forgives, and he'll save, he'll cleanse, and he'll cleanse them. Well, they didn't want that. You know, well, that's not the kind of love that has a love for souls if they didn't want that person to get saved. Now, that's an extreme illustration, but it is one that I have in ministry encountered. And I can understand that people would be a little bit hesitant to do that. I've told people, go with your husband or go with your wife to confront that person and share the plan of salvation with them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says it this way, seeing we have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, that is not fake, not made up, not pretended, unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's how we're to love one another, is fervently. Not nonchalant. Not in word and tongue only. Now, to love one another with a pure heart, must be a pure heart, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not corruptible Bibles, not corruptible standards, not corruptible anything, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You love one. You love them. And you're to love one another, by the way, in speaking of brethren. And you do it fervently. But why? Why? Again, because you are born again. That's what I'm trying to put out. People need to be born again. You love them because you are born again. As Christians, that is, as the children of God, we need to labor in God's vineyard of the world and bring in the fruits to the local church. But as laborers together with God, we must constantly be aware of our motive. If our motive is wrong, our joy in the labor will soon be frustrated. And then we'll labor only through habit, if we labor at all. That is when you are liable to be attracted, as well as attacked, but attracted by the flesh. Be very careful. Be so very careful. Now, see the word truth there. It applies to both the Word of God thy word is truth, John 17:17, Jesus said. But it also applies to faith or doctrine, that by which we live. I've illustrated this many times. We can say, we've seen men say it, I believe that smoking will be hazardous to my health. It could cause cancer, could cause this, could cause that. And people have said that, and yet they continue to smoke. Now, they believe the statement that smoking can cause cancer. But there's not faith in that statement because they continue to smoke. You can believe that exercise and eating right is good for your body. But if you don't exercise and you don't eat right, it is not good for your body. So you have a belief that says, yeah, I agree with that, but it's not faith. You're not living by it. You can say, I believe that Jesus is coming again soon. Well, we read in 1 John chapter 3, remember that, back in chapter 3, verse 3. He said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's great. That is a belief. Where's the faith? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, you're not willing for the purity. You can believe the fact, but it's not faith because you're not living by it. You're not purifying yourself. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Okay, so the faith is pure. It's a good conscience. You've taken a stand, not because you hate those people. You would stand against it if it was your own child. You stand against sin. You stand for God. You have a good conscience. It's not faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I just read 1 Timothy 1:5, 2 Timothy 1:5, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is, not make-believe, not false, not fake, not hypocritical, but real, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, the life of Timothy proved the love was in him to the Apostle Paul. Have you influenced your family by teaching the faith and then demonstrating it by the way you live? If not, why not start now? Even if your children are adults. Again, faith is not a doctrinal statement. Rather, it is those biblical principles by which you live. And it governs your decision making, your life changes and directions, led of God. You see, our Lord did not love in word and tongue only. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love. It was one thing to say, he loves us. When we read 1 John, he says, we love him because he first loved us. Well, those are good statements. But the proof of that love was that he laid down his life for us. Romans 5:8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are in our worst state, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is so profound. That is so worthy of so much thought. I think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And really, if you start in verse 5 there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, he modeled it. He loved us. And yet he showed us our evil sin and what it deserved by his sacrifice. Now think of his love. Because not all men are lovable. Okay. Most of us are not. But isn't it interesting that he says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? He said all men. John 3:16, he said, for whosoever believeth. In 2 Peter 3:9, he said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should go to hell. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, he said, whosoever will. By the way, let me just ask you a question. How many times does whosoever have to appear in the Bible for it to be true? You say, Pastor, you have no idea how deeply I have gone into sin. Preacher, you just have no idea. And no, I don't. I don't know you in most cases. And even when I know you personally, I don't know your heart. But he does, and he loves you. Where sin abounded, Romans 5:20 says, grace did much more abound. He wants to save you, but you must turn to him, realizing, I cannot save myself. I need a Savior, and only Jesus can save me. And once you realize that only Jesus can save you, he will do it. But you must realize only he can save you. So you must turn to him with your whole heart. Perhaps you're listening today, and you say, Pastor, Andy, you know what? I think that you've really stepped all over my feet today in this message. I do need a Savior. I'm just not sure if I died today that heaven's my home. Well, you know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, that includes me and that includes you. You know, the glory of God is Jesus Christ. You're not measured compared to me or to anybody in the church or anywhere else. You're compared to Jesus Christ. We all fall short of him. And yet that is the standard that we have to meet to appear in heaven. That's why the Bible says, in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted in Christ, through Christ. That's where my acceptance is. I'm a sinner. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said in Romans 6:23, for the wages, what I've earned, what I've got coming to me, for the wages of sin is death. That is final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. That's what I have earned.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my